the show, Five Stripe Fam. I'm AJ, and this is Michael. And wherever it is you get your pods, subscribe, share, and leave us a good rating. Welcome to another episode of Five Stripe Weekly, and unfortunately, Atlanta United are out of the MLS Cup playoffs, 4-2 to the Columbus Crew. We'll get into the match review, but before that, let's give some shout-outs to our Patreon members, Gavin Marshall, Jordan Beck, Nal Faruqi, Andrew Wicki, Ariel Acosta, and Chris James. And as well, you know that we are on the road to 10,000 subs, so make sure to hit that subscribe button. We love you. We appreciate you. Don't be a freeloader. But yeah, so let's get into the match review. And yeah, Atlanta United, we unfortunately fell behind with two early goals in Ohio, and the first dagger came from our old friend, Darlington Nagbe, who, in a very Caesar-esque moment, he was the first person to stab us in the chest in the front. But, going into this match, I think we were all riding high. You know, the match at the Benz, 4-2, the other way. It was very encouraging, gave some people some hope, but unfortunately, none such for me. I had us getting defeated in penalties. Thankfully, I guess it wasn't that dramatic, but in terms of for you, Michael, what were your overall thoughts on this match?
Overall, it was a rough match. It's kind of how we expected it might turn out. I didn't expect it to go to penalties. I thought we'd probably lose 3-2 or something like that. I think was my, or 4-3. I forget when my, I think 4-3 was my prediction of the scoreline. Really close to it, almost got there. Probably should have had 3 against them, but you know, we let in 4. You can't win championships letting in 4. So that was as much as we could muster, I guess, away. Because at home, of course, we're a different animal. We seem to be almost world beaters sometimes when we're at home. Riding high on just a tremendous amount of confidence and swagger. But when we go on the bus, then to the plane, into the bus, into the stadium, we just, somewhere along those lines, we just lose it. And it's just, you know, it's been a story all season long. It's been a story previous seasons as well. We haven't really been a threat on the road since like 2019, and that was even marginal. Obviously, even before that, we were even slightly better. Like, it's unfortunate to almost throw your hands up and consider away matches to be losses before they even happen. It's frustrating, but it's kind of the nature of the beast in MLS. Hopefully Atlanta can figure out something so they can get more wins away instead of, you know, when we put on our away kits and everyone starts thinking it's the kit that's the problem.
Right.
No, it's the fact that we're playing away and we wear those kits when we play away.
Yep.
And damn, we just can't find a consistent amount of joy when playing away in MLS. So, I mean, it sucks when you go from a 4-2 dominant victory to getting dominated 4-2 away. It's almost like a lack of words. Like, it's hard to describe. Frustration is definitely one of the emotions, one of the feelings, but we're not fully there yet in terms of our rebuild. We still have, you know, minimum one, but maybe 2 windows away from having a team that can truly compete. We got into the playoffs. That's fine and all. Obviously, that's below our normal standard. We want to do more. We want to compete for trophies. I think, and maybe, and this is what Garf was saying, in 1 or 2 more windows, we will be back there again. So, you know, it's not all doom and gloom, but man, it was a tough pill to swallow. And of course, it was Columbus again, just like in 2017, just poo-pooing our playoff hopes and dreams.
Right. But the following year ended pretty well. So, you know, maybe there are some fireworks that can be set off, in the next year. But it is that. We definitely underperformed our I guess, set goals for the season. We wanted to have home field advantage in the playoffs, and we did not reach that goal, unfortunately. You know, the goalposts kind of moved a bit in terms of, you know, what we wanted. Now it was more like, okay, let's just make the playoffs. But it is, in this match particularly, a little bit uncharacteristic. Now, we've been leaky at the back, but I don't think we've been leaky in the back for these reasons, in which we couldn't clear the damn ball. It was annoying as all hell, because we essentially, for the first goal, there were multiple times that we should have just booted it or let it go. And on this first goal, pretty much Saba, he should have just let the ball go out. No one spoke to him, and unfortunately he keeps it in play even though we're being pressured in our box. And then Miles Robinson, could this be his last game for Atlanta United? It wasn't his best, let's be real. And unfortunately, that clearance, if you can call it that, is pretty much, it's an assist to a former five stripe in Darlington Nagbe, who is able to find some space, get past his marker, and beat his former goalkeeper from distance, which seemed to be, probably anyway, the book for what they were doing this match. Is, hey, a shot from distance is as good as a shot from inside the box. And the first two goals were exemplary of that. Nagbe, I don't think he didn't really celebrate, which I commend, actually. I mean, he could have, like I said on the live stream, there were probably some silent middle fingers to Carlos Bocanegra. But I think in this match, he just kind of coldly just stood there, let his teammates maul him. But it kind of set the tone. It was pretty much like, all right, well, you know, this is our house, and you're going to have to do a lot to actually knock it down. And so, yeah. And then 8 minutes later, Amundsen, like the left center back of all people, he hits a ridiculous swerving ball. I mean, man, it's just like, for you, Mike, like, I mean, I don't know which one's more incredulous. Like, the fact that Nagbe scored against us to pretty much put us away, or a center back hitting this type of shot.
It's definitely the center back for me. I mean, Darlington has quality. And we saw in the previous games, he likes to take shots against us. He took a bunch of shots at us in Atlanta. Yeah. Luckily, he missed all of them. I was like, we'll take those all day. Just try and, keep him out at distance. And then he just, misses it and gives us the free ball. Unfortunately, he nailed it tonight. So it is what it is. He has to get one eventually, I guess. But, he has quality. I forgive him for that. I mean, it's not a big deal. But it's the second goal that was the backbreaker. We had no answer after the first goal, unfortunately. We couldn't score immediately to kind of rectify it and put Columbus back on their heels. Instead, we concede by an absolute howitzer shot from nowhere. And this gave me flashbacks to 2019 when we got knocked out of the conference final against Toronto with, Osorio and everything, that other guy who scored. They just random goal scorers from guys who never hit bangers, and they just come up big in a playoff and become an instant hero. That's frustrating to see. It's like you want your big name players to show up and, do something. Unfortunately, only Giorgos, in terms of our big name players, really showed up. Unfortunately, Thiago didn't. And then on the other side, you have players who typically or like, you know, often don't score scoring on us. I mean, that'd have been wonderful if, you know, Miles Robinson was able to score for us, or, you know, God for like, I don't think I'll ever see this in my lifetime, but if Abraham somehow scored for us, like that would be, you know, incredible. But unfortunately, it was Columbus who just guy had a crack, and damn, was it a good one. So yeah, that's the one. It's definitely, that was a backbreaker. I mean, It's like, that's the kind of shot where you go, okay, boys, I don't think it's our night.
Yeah, and I think the play kind of started to suffer a little bit because, yeah, I think the belief started to disappear. And Thiago Amada, yeah, not his match. I mean, he looked a little bit lost at times, you know, not at the pace of the game, perhaps. And, yeah, a lot of misplaced passes or, you know, passes that he normally puts on a dime. Yeah, he hits it into players, and it's an atypical type of game from the guy who usually was pulling our strings. And yeah, unfortunately, Columbus, 33rd minutes, they extend the lead. Diego Rossi, who, man, maybe we jinxed it. Maybe we jinxed it. We mentioned, oh, he's been quiet this series. Yeah, he was able to find, Matan, and yeah, it's a 3-0 lead, but we were able to pull a goal back moments later, and Almada, he was able to find a ball to Brooks Lennon, and Lennon, he was able to get a foot on the end of it and knock the ball centrally. And Giacomakis was able to connect on that pass and be able to hit it home. And it's somewhat of a game at 3-1 in the 35th minute. But I mean, it's still a big mountain to climb, especially on the road, where we know any lead can be insurmountable. I mean, we've been able to find equalizers, but yeah. From a 3-0 lead, I can't remember the last time we were able to come back from something like that and win the game. And you can let us know in the comments below what that match was, but not in recent memory. I can't think of it. But
3-0, 4 unanswered. I don't think we've ever done that.
Yeah, I don't think we have. I mean, I think there was obviously that San Jose match, that MLS After Dark game in San Jose, that we were able to come back from a goal that got disallowed, so it was technically like a 3-1 deficit, I think, maybe, but we already scored that first goal. So yeah, but either way, it's just like it's rare. That's the point. And you know, this man, like, you just hope for the best that we don't absolutely get blown out. And fortunately we were able to get a second goal, but it was unfortunately not before they got their fourth one. And yeah, it was right after the start of the second half. They came out hot, and 48th minute, Diego Rossi, he scores. And LA United, we were able to pull one back moments later. And in terms of Lennon, he got two assists on the night. Sean Da Silva, coming from the left wing, was able to pretty much tap it in the 6-yard box. And it pretty much stayed that way. We try to kind of put everything on and try to get a result. It was, I don't know. I mean, it's pretty much like the game is already like done probably, but like, do you think we had enough firepower on the bench to really do anything? I mean, it was basically, we took off our wingers, you know, we took off Saba and, you know, Silva, and I mean, it's like, okay, you know, we put on TRA. But there was, it just felt like, yeah, it was like, all right, well, I mean, it's just like, what can we really do?
No, we put on Derek Etienne, if that gives you any understanding about how little firepower we're hoping to put on the field. I mean,
right.
Jamal unfortunately hasn't proved to us yet that he's capable of being a game changer. And we know Etienne is not. And so, yeah, that was pretty much pack it up, boys. We're going home.
Yeah. You know, it's like even though he's familiar with these grounds, he's, you know, a former Columbus Crew player as, you know, I guess early as last season. But, yeah, I mean, this season's Derek Etienne pretty much gave us nothing. And, yeah, it's a white flag, I would say. And, yeah, I mean, it's just we got run ragged. I mean, Columbus showed their quality, especially at home. And, yeah, two goals just seem like insurmountable. And, I mean, Brad Guzan, he mentioned that Columbus's movements are really good. They've got guys that can interchange. Their movements are really good. And they have a really good understanding where the next guy's going to be. And it made it difficult for us to close guys down and get pressure to the ball when it was in wide areas, when it was central. And yeah, I mean, it's like, man, Cucho Hernandez didn't even score. And like, and we still lost. Like, dog.
They did to us what we did to them.
Exactly.
With, you know, all of these different kinds of goal scorers, all these different kinds of threats coming at you, overwhelming you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they flipped the script and went, okay, this is how Atlanta operates and does well. Well, we're going to adopt that and then demolish them with it.
Right. And, yeah, we pulled out a Spider-Man mask and so did they. They pulled out the inverse of it with, the black Spider-Man mask. And, yeah.
It's like, good for you, but you realize that he did that because his son asked him to do it. Exactly. Not because he wanted to clown on you. So, right. Like, I hope you feel great about that.
I know, right? Yeah, you're essentially clowning on Sean De Silva's son. Think about that, Cucho. But, but anyway, yeah, so it's a bitter pill to swallow, but if not expected a little bit, unfortunately. I think the second match gave us the hope, but as we know sometimes, it's the hope that kills you. And, yeah.
Question, if we had two home games, you think we win the series?
Ooh, it's a very big hypothetical that I love to entertain. I mean, yeah, I would give us a good benefit of the doubt that we could probably do something against this Columbus Crew side. I don't know if it's going to be like a, you know, blowout, kind of like we did it the first time. But yeah, if it was game one, game three, I mean, I think we probably would have had a similar scoreline for the first one. The third one, I think, would have been a lot different. But it also was this. Without Thiago Almada, yeah, I don't know. You know, like,
yeah,
it would have been different too. So, man, it was a pretty tight series in the sense of, you know, I think if it was anybody, like, you know, everyone protected their home. I mean, well, yeah, you know, it's like, yeah, I think we have a shout there. But the Almada factor, I think it just showed that, yeah, I don't think it was that they nullified Thiago Almada, even though it very well, you know, it was probably a factor. But I think, yeah, game three, he just, yeah, no, I don't think he had maybe, like, I think his motivation got killed really quickly after our defensive gaffes. And I don't think he's learned quite yet how to be the guy against a top team. Like,
yeah.
You know, he's done it against lower sides, but yeah, the consistency is what he's aiming to find, I'm sure. Because, yeah, you know, he's still a young guy. And I think that's what's really going to get him his move to a top European side, is if he can start to do that against everybody and against the top sides. And maybe in, you know, if we ever make it, you know, in a Champions League with him on the side, which probably unlikely at this point. He's probably gone at some point in the next year. So, you know, it's one of those things. But yeah, so you know, we'll wrap a bow on this match. But what are your final thoughts on this?
Like I said, it's, you know, there are some reasons to be optimistic for next season. So even though this is a bad taste in your mouth in the moment, hopefully it'll be washed out soon with some good news in the off season. This is growing pains. We knew it was going to happen. Kind of teased ourselves a little bit with some hope of game two against Columbus because we saw the spark. Unfortunately, it was put out. Hopefully the flame will be roaring to life so more powerfully next season that it won't be able to be put out and it'll just burn up the league. So that's what I'm hoping for. You know, this will go down as, yeah, at least it meets a minimum requirement for me in that Atlanta United is back in playoff positions. So that's obviously it's expanded. We didn't need the expanded playoff to make it this season. So yeah, that's good. I'm happy that we are back into the playoffs because, man, I never want to have another season of Atlanta not being in the playoffs. That's just, that is truly unacceptable. Like, it is just no more of that, please. So I think it's only going up from here, and that's where it should go. And that's where it's gotta remain, in the upper crust of the MLS, forever. And hopefully it stays that way.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, it's beautifully said. It's I love the metaphor as we are a phoenix from the ashes, as our city is pretty much kind of aptly named for. So it is one of those things where, yeah, hopefully Garth Lagerwey can lead us in that direction. And but yeah, it is not a good night. And it is this, though. We'll have a review of the whole season in a future episode. But for now, we will wrap this baby up and get into the news. And yeah, the news does not go for good reading, as Orlando City, they have advanced into the next round. And they
come
will
on,
play.
Nashville.
I know, right? Come on, just like do one thing good. Right, I mean, like, you know, you boo Jose Martinez when he tears his ACL. Like, you can't put away teams when, you know, you really need them to. When you're playing Inter Miami and you're playing Orlando City, they're not good at home and you can't do the business. I mean, come on,
they're better than they've been doing, and it's frustrating for me because, like, they're playing against teams I want them to beat. So
yeah,
I don't know. Tough. Hopefully they're better next year too.
Right, because yeah, they're basically the lesser of the two evils in that sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, Orlando will be playing Columbus, and so yeah, really really interesting matchup there. As
I swear to God, if Columbus loses that game, that will be the most disappointing thing of the entire MLS Cup playoffs outside of Atlanta getting knocked out.
Exactly. It's not only is it a bracket buster because yeah. I think there are a few of us that are thinking, yeah, I mean, let's just look at, you know, on paper, Columbus Crew have a ridiculous team. They're so deep. It's partially why they were able to beat us is they benched Julian Gressel for the third match and still beat us. Like, it's, yeah. But
yeah, I was like, are they resting players? Like, what?
Yeah, right? It's just like, I mean, yeah, to be fair, We on his side, we were beating him in the second match a good bit, but yeah, I mean, it's like still. But FC Cincy, they will play Philadelphia Union, and that's a pretty tasty matchup too. And Seattle Sounders and LAFC, that's probably the tightest one, I would say. Yeah, that one can go either way. LAFC with Denny Bouanga, who's like scoring in every match pretty much. Like, that will be interesting to see away what the Sounders can do at home. So yeah, and then Houston Dynamo versus Sporting Kansas City. That's not a gimme either. I mean, it's a pretty actually interesting playoff picture, even though LA United are not in it. But I'm curious, like. Who do you have out of the West? Out of maybe we won't get the winner out of the West yet. Maybe, but who beats each other? Sounders versus LAFC, Dynamo versus SKC. Who do you think?
I want SKC to win just because it's fun. It's just be fun to have this play-in team come in and just crash everybody. That would be funny to me. So because I don't have any loyalties to anyone in the West, so that would be hilarious to see. Everyone get real upset about that. So good for SKC. I hope they continue to be a wrecking ball. For Seattle and LAFC, I have LAFC beating them. They should, and it will be more interesting, I guess, soccer if they do going forward. But because like LAFC is an exciting team, say what you want about them, they're still exciting. Seattle can be not exciting sometimes, but they get the job done. So that's the scary thing about Seattle is, they'll do whatever it takes to win in advance. And as some people describe them as zombie Seattle, they come to life out of nowhere and all of a sudden snatch victory from their opponents. So it's going to be an interesting one. Who knows how Seattle will perform against LAFC. If LAFC plays at their best, they should win. But Seattle has a really, really weird way of just making things go their way sometimes. So it'll be an interesting matchup. Like I said, I don't really have any loyalties, so don't really care. But I honestly, if it's SKC winning the West, that would make me a happy camper.
Yeah, from a neutral standpoint, it's just maximum entertainment. And it is, yeah. I mean, Seattle Sounders, their own fans aren't even rating their team. But yeah, they're able to get the job done so far. And it speaks to how maybe tight it is in the West. Like in the East, pretty much all the home teams, at least the ones that had home field advantage, were able to advance. But out West, not much the case. I mean, yeah, St. Louis City, they capitulated to SKC. So, but I think that maybe had a little bit more to do with how little travel that the SKC actually had to do, because it's pretty much the same state. So, but moving on from that. So national team duty. Yorgos Yakimakis, Miles Robinson, Thiago Almada, and Luis Abram have been called up for the November FIFA window. And, it's the end of the season. So, I just hope that they, will be healthy and no injuries. But, if it's a little niggle or whatever, no big deal because our season's over. So, but Yorgos Yakimakis, he also talked about the upcoming long MLS offseason, and he mentioned having played in Holland and Scotland. He always had a month and a half break, so it's not a big difference for him. He said, quote, "I also have to prepare lots of things. I'm getting married in December. I'm stressed until I'm done." So that's amazing. I mean, Yakimakis will be a new husband. So congrats to him when that happens. But I mean.
Sorry to all the ladies. Didn't lock him up soon enough. He's not available anymore.
Right. But also, to speak on that window. I mean, it's likely there won't be another match, at least for LA United, that's going to count for something probably until late February, early March. But how are you feeling about that?
It's always a little annoying when you don't have games to watch. It is what it is. I mean, I don't have really another soccer team to follow. So it'll be me like kind of vicariously caring slightly about teams that my friends care about. But some people, like I said, some people have teams that they follow the outside of Atlanta, so they can kind of go on to that. But so it's a little disappointing, and I don't look forward to it every year, but it is what it is. I'll find something to occupy my time.
Right. But occupy your time. We will have plenty of transfer rumors, I'm sure, because yes, there will be a lot of players that will unfortunately see the exit. Maybe fortunately for some people, if depending on who you ask. But yeah, we'll get to that in a second. But yeah, as well, Brad Guzan, he had conversations with the club, apparently, and with his family, or will have them. And he was asked if he intends to play next season. I mean, he is under contract, but he did say now isn't the time to think about it. He needs to sit down and talk with those people that aforementioned. But he said, quote, "I'm eternally grateful for all the support my family give me. Right now, it's certainly a feeling of disappointment because of the result we just experienced." So, yeah, for you, I mean, I think, you know, we'll get to if he stays or not, but... yeah, Brad Guzan and his thoughts there. Like, you know, what are you gleaning from his statement? Do you think he is leaning towards staying or not?
It's hard to tell, but if I gun to my head, I'd probably say yeah. Strongly is not the right word. I'd think that, like, the balance of probability is that he's thinking that he's leaving. But there's a lot of things, I think, a lot of dominoes that have to fall first for that to be official or in his mind. So, you know, it's still a lot up in the air for him, I think, and for everyone else. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm not quite sure. I have my own thoughts about whether or not I want that to be the case, so... Yeah,
we'll get to that. But yeah, definitely. Yeah, it is. There's a lot to read into that, of course, and only probably he and his family will know, and of course the club. But yeah, definitely, he's not giving too much away. But there are.
He's a damn professional. That's why.
Exactly right. Yeah. But there's something to read between the lines, and I think yeah, we'll find out soon, of course. But. Gonzalo Pineda, he was asked about the opinion of the 2023 season. He said, quote, "encouraging," and that there is, quote, "longer analysis to come," and as well as dealing with the team's, quote, "Achilles heel," leaking goals, which I think also, there's a strong implication that he feels like, oh yeah, of course, I'm gonna be in the job next year, and you know, this offseason, I will be, you know, in the throes of, you know, choosing some of my own players here and, you know, all that type of stuff. So, yeah, I think it'll be very interesting because I think there is a contingency of fans that are thinking, you know, Pineda out. But, yeah, definitely fascinating. What are you reading from that in his statements?
I think he's doing what everyone should do in his shoes, which is to assume he's not being fired and continue on with what you have to do. Because I mean, God forbid he's like, I assume I'm going to be fired and I'm not going to really put my all into the job going forward. And then he ends up staying on. Then he's behind the eight ball. So of course he's going to assume, you know, business as usual until he hears different, which is what a professional does. So he'll be fine when it comes to that. And if it ends up him going to the chopping block, he's going to be fine with that as well. I think he'll pick up a great job outside of this if it ends up going that way. I don't think it's going to go that way. I think he's going to stick around. I don't think it makes a lot of sense to get rid of him at this point unless something massive has happened that we are not privy to at the moment, like lining up some kind of God tier coach or something. But I don't see evidence for that. There's some little things, but for the most part, I don't see really any conclusive evidence for that. I think he and the club and most people are thinking he's going to stick around despite, you know, some people's chagrin to the opposite.
Right. And yeah, he also said, quote, "we're not very far. We're happy in the way we play and the style of the team. It's just making plays defensively. And at times it's collectively as a unit. It's about those little details that we need to do better collectively and individually." Yeah. I mean, I don't think he's, you know, way off base either. I think we've seen a remarkable improvement from July. So, yeah, you know, there is some glimmer as we, I think we rightfully saw in the in match day two. So, yeah, I think it's something that, you know, we will I guess broach that when it comes. But it is yeah, definitely some food for thought while we chew on it in the off season. But yeah, so last bit of news is that former LA United goalkeeper Rocco Rios Novo, you know, who thought we would say that name, but he with Phoenix Rising, they won the USL Championship title with him saving the final penalty. So definitely congrats to the mustachioed boy wonder as, yeah, he wins his first trophy. So, yeah, definitely congratulations to him. But, yeah, definitely it seems like that's probably a level that he is good at. I don't know if he's probably an MLS MLS level type player quite yet, but you know, definitely interesting.
Yeah, not yet. He's still young.
Yeah, but he is, I would, some would say, undersized. But you know, there was also another pretty much all-timer MLS goalkeeper in Nick Raimondo, who was right, undersized as well. So it's really about, you know, with a lot of I guess players, especially in defense, it's about your positioning. It's about your, you know, ability to do your job. And yeah, he's a good shot stopper, and
saved more penalties than Guzan this year.
Yeah, he did. That's for sure. And he's pretty good with his feet too. It's just the aerial stuff that, I mean, just comes with someone his size. So, but yeah, so that does it for the news and gets us into the mailbag. And you guys send in these questions through IG story. Please continue to do so, and we might answer your question in the future. But first question comes from, let's see. Oh boy, yeah, there was a lot of questions, and I'm actually debating which ones to go with first because some of these are big questions. But many of them concern Goose, and that's why we saved it. So, Rodley Enestrosa and Gusta Maraki, they pretty much ask, is it time to move on from Goose, new goalkeeper for 2024? What do you think?
I think so, but it has to be in a specific way. It has to be Guzan stays on as kind of a backup keeper at a reduced capacity, hopefully reduced, you know, pay cut. I mean, he's been willing to take pay cuts in the past. I mean, I think that would do the club the best honor. Unfortunately, that asks him to make sacrifices. So I completely understand if he's not willing to do that. You know, that to me, that's perfectly fine. The thing is, what I ideally would love is if he stayed on as kind of like the backup, you know, elder statesman of the goalkeepers, and we bring on a new, pretty darn good already goalkeeper, but is maybe needing a little bit of refinement, and Guzan's tutelage can sharpen his edge to be the full potential he always needed to be. So that's my take on it. I hope that's kind of how it goes. I don't know if the logistics allow for that. I don't know if Guzan would want that. There's also talks about Guzan, you know, getting a position with the front office, with the club in some other way. Also, he's not bad at broadcasting. He's got a good face, got a good voice, very charismatic, unlike me. So I feel like, you know, broadcast could definitely be something he could look into as well if he ever decided to completely, you know, put his boots up. So, yeah, those are kind of the different ways.
Yeah, don't sell yourself so short, man. That's you got a beautiful face, my friend. But in terms of man, like I agree there. I don't know if we need him as a backup, but it wouldn't hurt. And as a cup keeper, yeah, you could do a lot worse. So, yeah, you know, if he does decide to stick around, I wouldn't hate it in that capacity, but yes, we absolutely need to find a shot stopper. Like, in this league, you need a shot stopper. Like, it's just, yeah, you know, defenses aren't strong enough, and you're gonna face a lot of shots if you know, your midfield is leaky and just allows teams to get in. So yeah, it's definitely one of those. Yeah, hopefully we can do that and not be shy about it, because I feel like we've been a little shy about it. Like, it's like he's been like just serviceable enough recently in the last 2 years, but can we do better? Absolutely. Okay, next question. Man, there's a lot to choose from here. We'll go with some easy ones. Will Purata return? What do you think?
That's a tricky one. I mean, he's serviceable. Not as a starter. He is a backup. But I think if he's going to want to play, he's probably going to have to go somewhere else. So that may be the case. He might end up doing that, but maybe he really likes playing in the United States, or maybe another team can, in the MLS, can help him out. I don't know. I mean, I could see him easily going to another team in MLS, and getting, I guess, maybe a starting position there. You know, I mean, I guess I would see him leaving. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Would I hate it if he stayed? Not necessarily, but yeah, I think it's tough. I'd say like 60-40, like 60 he goes, 40 he stays.
Yeah. I think he is, I think, you know, pretty much he would be on loan still. So it's a matter of us like probably purchasing him.
Right.
So it's one of these like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if we should. Like, as a backup, great. Yes, I'd welcome it. But
T-Graze is probably going to want some coin.
Yeah, so. And I don't think we should for that. So
yeah,
ultimately, that's probably a no for me. Let's see. In terms of, man, the next question from A Duarte 11. Talk about hypotheticals. Would Columbus have won the second game if we had a standard two-leg format? I think so, says A. Duarte. But he says, I think so. What do you think? So, like, aggregate score type of two-leg format. Would we have been able to? I mean, if it was just two, well, then, yeah, I mean, yeah. We would, if it was the 2-0 to 4-2 scoreline, yeah. We would have been tied, but you know, with the two away goals, and we had zero away goals, it's tough. Yeah, we would have actually gone out. So it's tough, man. Like, that's a very good thought experiment. But what do you think?
I think that we probably we. I mean, it's tricky, right? Obviously, it's a thought experiment, and you have to try and adjust for variables. And in this case, you kind of have to think like, well, both teams would play this series differently had they known its aggregate versus the format that it was. So if Columbus is up 2-0 against us, you know, at home at their house, and they're punishing us, they may go for broke and really try and crush us with going for a third goal instead of maybe trying to, you know, not, you know, instead of like maybe dialing back a bit. That could be the case. Then you're looking at a 3-0 deficit from the beginning there, and then second game we score 4, they score 2. But you also kind of have to imagine that, I mean, if you know that scoreline kind of stays the same, I would think that Atlanta would play it in such a way where they wouldn't have let that last goal go in, that random freak shot that Columbus player had, that he just came in first touch of the game, like a minute in, and just blasted a random shot in off of a cross or corner. So like, yeah, it's hard with any kind of certainty to say, you know, is this more likely or not? You want to say that whatever happened now would probably similarly happen then, because the better team did win. So the better team would probably still have won. You know, I think the format was kind of helpful to us, actually. So I don't think that changing it to aggregate would have been particularly fruitful for us.
Because we still had it all to play for in match three. So I think, yeah, it's something that, absolutely, you're right. We definitely, I think, benefited from this. And especially if it was, like, maybe how in yesteryear, the early rounds were just one round. And the other matches, the other, you know, the finals, the semifinals, the conference finals were, you know, the two legs. That would be interesting because basically we'd be out in that first match. So, yeah, it's it would have been where we were, you know, Almada-less. And that's, man, that would have been a really tough pill to swallow.
Like, yeah.
I think Almada would have. I think he would have stayed. He would have maybe stayed an entire other year just to like make up for that, maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
Because that, yeah, the guilt that he would have felt, man. Okay, so yeah, next question.
Good question, by the way. Whoever put that in.
Yeah, A. Duarte. So next question, Madison P. 1372. Should our focus be so much on selling stars and rebuilding versus adding complementing pieces?
So, yeah, I think that Garth has kind of indicated the latter is the way that he wants to go. He wants to find, you know, what was it? What was the age range he said? Like 24 to like 28 or something? I forget what the age range. But like older veteran-style players coming in, filling these positions that are essential to have like a firm spine that has veteran presence all along it, that allows us to be more consistent. I think that's the real big thing, because I think the way we play, the way we are with the makeup of our team, the result is that it has a lot of inconsistency. So I think with bringing in more of these kinds of styles players to complement all, you know, the firepower we already kind of got going, I think that that is probably the best idea. And I think that that's Garf's idea. The model of just like getting a bunch of young South American players and then selling them on, I mean, I think we will still do it to like perhaps just one degree, like just getting a 10 or something, like a very hot player with high up value in the future, potential, so on and so forth. I think that we'll probably still dip our toes in those waters, like when we need to. But I don't think like you'll see that like all throughout the ranks. I mean, you see it like the fact that we didn't go after an Alan Franco, you know, again from South America. We went to the French Second League, and we found like a more veteran style player. I mean, AJ and I both kind of criticized some of the signings from France, saying like, you know, these guys are a little bit older. I don't know how it's going to play out, but turns out it's a little bit better. So if we go this way, I think we'll continue to see improvement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's, very well said. The level, I think it's this, they're floor raisers, these players that have been brought in. Like,
good way to put it. Yeah.
Basically, a lot of what we had before, the range was a little too high. Like, we had, the ceiling that might be a glass ceiling that, they can get beyond that pretty easily, but that floor was immeasurably low at times. I think you saw it with the likes of Santiago Sosa, with Franco Ibarra in his early days. It took some years for them to get a little competent, or maybe their powers waned a little bit as well. It's just the consistency within the squad was not able to be found. And I think we were able to see that with the new players that were brought in, because they are, hungry players, but also players that maybe they didn't see a ton of time, but they are obviously in Europe for a reason. And that was able to be evident in our play in the second half of the season. Okay, the big question that a lot of people are asking. So it's basically from T-Showin 76, as well as Elias Bonilla 10, pretty much asking which out of contract players let me read the one that who should be sold during the off season. What does Atlanta need to add? And other questions are, kind of who should be let go, you know, that type of stuff as well. Which players do you think Atlanta should move on from our Roberto 7030? So before you answer there, let's talk about the players that possibly could go, and we can go from there. So because of maybe they're out of contract, they could be sold, maybe some other mechanism. But basically, you have Hosetu, you have Westbrook, Conway, Sadich, Ibarra, Sosa, Etienne Jr., Barry, Diop, Alonzo, Purata, Hernandez, Almada, and of course Miles Robinson. And Sean da Silva a little bit as well, because he's on loan. There's no guarantee yet, of course, so we should put him in that list too. But in terms of those players, and I can read them off for you again if you need it. But
maybe we just do it like this: you go through the list, give your opinion, and then I'll chime in as you go through, instead of having to remind me who's on the list and how much they're making and what kind of contract they're currently in. So
for sure. Okay, so let's go from kind of the bottom, maybe. So Ronald Hernandez. Do you think he is kept next season?
I mean, if he wants to play, which I think he probably still is in the range of wanting to play, because, he still gets calls up to the Venezuelan national team occasionally. I think he's probably going to move on if he still has got a lot of hunger in him. I'm surprised he stuck around as much as he has, with the fact that we don't start him very much at all. However, there's been a couple of times towards the end of the season we've called upon him. Maybe he thinks gaining favor again with Pineda, and if Pineda sticks around, maybe it can be seen as favorable. So that's kind of the dependent variable there. I'm not sure if he will go or not, but it depends on like those things.
Yeah, and for sure, all those things. I mean, he is a defensive liability at times, but he is able to. I think maybe against. Maybe not top sides, he's serviceable, but I think you can find a lot worse, but I think we can also find better. But he is a player that can play on both kind of fullback sides, so I think he's gone. But if he stays as a death piece, that's fine.
I think he's going to want to play and improve, so I think he'll probably seek to gain a starting position somewhere else, probably.
Right. Next question, or not next question, but next player, Purata, we mentioned before, so probably gone for me. And you said, probably gone for you as well.
Yeah, probably.
Ozzie Alonso, it's injury marred a couple of years.
We can't keep him around. He was supposed to be a pylon player, and we need to pick up a new pylon player. Absolutely.
It wasn't very much, but we pretty much wasted a couple of years of money on him. So, maybe he provided the intangibles in the locker room, and for that, maybe that was invaluable. But let's go with also Diop and Westberg. Do you feel like we keep them?
It really depends, like what I said earlier about Brad and Brad's situation. If they kind of do that, bring on the new keeper who's a blade that needs sharpening, and Brad is staying on to try and help, I think that we can let go of at least one of them. Yeah. I don't really care. They're both decent. Diop probably is... to me just feels a little bit better, but I mean they're both fine. I don't think hopefully we don't need both of them next season is what I'm hoping.
Yeah. It's been a thing where breaking case of glass, those moments were very hard in mouth, but yeah, we were able to, I guess, at least weather the storm when Brad Guzan was out. And yeah, it wasn't the worst possible scenarios. Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's just like, yeah, if we keep one of them, like Diop seemed to be like a good glue guy in the locker room and content with his place in the squad. So it's like, okay, yeah. And if Brad Guzan does stay on as a cup keeper, then okay. You know, it's a... You know, those players with experience, it's not the worst thing. But, yeah, definitely, you know, with Justin Garces kind of also waiting in the wings, I mean, you know, I think maybe he should start to see some time a little bit too. But, yeah, mm-hmm. We'll see. Miguel Berry, I think it's pretty easy.
Gone.
Yep. Derek Etienne.
Gone.
Gone if we can sell him. That's the problem. His contract is probably too high. Should we spend a buyout on him? Maybe.
I mean, yes.
I think you maybe kind of see a half season more. And okay, if
you
can't,
who else are we wanting to do a buyout on?
Well, that's the thing. It's coming up. I mean, well, actually, you know what? Looking at the roster, yeah, it might be.
Other players that are a little difficult, you know, that we still want to move on from, I think those can be marketable to other MLS and other teams still. So if Etienne is not, which is it's possible, I would hope that we could get some interest from him, but
right.
I guess it's possible that he doesn't. Then yeah, absolutely target him with the buyout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's possible maybe we can get like a little bit of gam and then like pay the rest of his salary, but who knows? I mean, I feel like that's like a very late preseason move probably for some team where they're in a pinch and they really need to figure out something. So, Santiago Sosa, what do you think?
I think we should move on from him. I think he goes back to South America. I don't think he's moving upwards or anything like that. I think he's laterally moving back to a okay team in South America. Hopefully, I want all these players to succeed and do well outside of Atlanta United. And so I hope he finds a team that he likes and can play on, in wherever he ends up. I don't think he'll get picked up by another MLS team. Mm-hmm. That would surprise me. Mm-hmm. He came here for Heinze, so I think since Heinze is not here, I think he doesn't. I mean, obviously he's made his bed here ever since, and he seemed to be all right. But the kid had high hopes. He hasn't gotten starting time in a long time. He's clearly fallen out of favor with Pineda. I think he's going to be looking to leave. So I think that just makes sense. And I hope he finds a team in like South America to play on that. You know, he can kind of go back to his roots. I think that would be something that would align well with him. That's just my guess.
Yeah. Because I think it's, yeah, on the ball, he's pretty good. But he's never really developed defensively. And marking has been his Achilles heel for sure. And as well, some defensive awareness. I think and pace has never really been his thing either. So unfortunately, yeah, it's one of those. If we can find a club for him, I think we should. Interesting.
I think we will.
Yeah, and yeah, maybe it's within MLS. Maybe a team takes a flyer on him. But yeah, next player in Amar Sadic.
What's his contract? So he's out of contract?
I don't know his contract situation, but I think he still has a contract.
I mean, like he we don't pay him very much, so yeah. In term, you know, compared to other players who make a lot of money on the team, so mm-hmm. It wouldn't be terrible if we kept him because he's very economical for us and he's serviceable. I don't think he's getting much better or regressing. So, you know, backup player, depth piece perhaps. But, yeah, I wouldn't be upset if he stuck around, but I also wouldn't be upset if he left. So.
Right. Yeah, I think we could do a lot worse as probably a player that's like maybe 18th through 20th on the squad in terms of, yeah, it's like, okay, yeah, you know, he's there, he's serviceable, but yeah, can we do better? I think we can. So, you know, that probably can be the case. Okay. Franco Ibarra.
I mean, all of his things that happened this season with Toronto and everything and the weirdness that went on between him and the club, I think it would probably just be best to find a new home for him. I feel like that would be best, but if he really wants to come back and we have a spot for him, then perhaps, but I think with the 6 and 8 position, we need upgrades, and I think we need an upgrade even from him, who he's been okay. But I think we need big investment in those positions. So
yeah.
It's not U22 South American player type guy. In my opinion, that we want there. I think we want the kind of guy that Garth is talking about, with like, you know, the veteran type of tried and true, proven commodity. You know, metronome on the ball, breaking lines, reliable guy, consistent guy there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there were some moments that he was a bit too rash, you know, definitely not the most adept on the ball. And though, when he came back from Toronto's season ending, he did put out a post, whether that was to appease or not. He was very ecstatic to be back with Atlanta. So, I mean, I think he has grown to love the city and maybe the club. There is, yeah, I guess, you know.
It could also just be being a professional.
Yep.
So
there is that. And, yeah, I mean, I think Johnny Fortune has usurped his spot on the squad. So, you know, if you're going to have a young player that can, you know, play the 6 and the 8. I mean, I think Fortune does it better. So, you know, it's I think, yeah, it's that. Like, Ibarra should be moved. Jackson Conway. Yep. I think, probably should. He's a homegrown, but yeah, I'm not really seeing a pathway into the first team right now. So,
no.
Yeah, I think.
No, definitely yeah. No pathway. Mm-hmm. And he's in danger of just being on the twos for forever. So maybe right. If we could get him somewhere else, that would be good for him. But we'll see.
Right. Mateo Sesetu?
Definitely gone. Definitely, definitely gone. Because not only because I'm not a fan of his style, but he can be marketed to another team who has a different style, and he can probably do well with them. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I think he shouldn't be the target of a buyout. He should just be, mm-hmm. what team needs a very tidy on the ball kind of, you know, midfielder who can.
So there is that.
He's out of contract.
Yeah. So it is really at this point, it's just like, I mean, I guess, you know, in terms of his rights, I guess we could, but really, I guess, yeah, there's really no point to.
Okay, well, it's like we're not getting anything back. That's fine. I mean, he still, I think, should go though.
Yeah, yeah. Like, we shouldn't re-sign him.
Yeah, we pay him.
Yeah.
He's not gonna take a pay cut, and we already pay him like was it 700,000+?
Yeah.
Like, that's ludicrous.
Yeah, in terms of MLS, yeah. Because obviously other leagues, like, that's kind of a pittance, but Miles Robinson, of course, out of contract. I think we've said this before on live streams and other things as well. Yeah, you should probably take the European move if you can get it. And it seems like he's getting interest from PSV, Eindhoven, and maybe
that would
some
be
other
a good
clubs.
Move for him. Yeah. I hope it works out. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, again, like it's like we say this, we want things to work out for Atlanta United alumni, and you know, he deserves it as much as anyone else, if not more. And I think that if he's going to take his leap to Europe, it's got to be now or never. This will elevate his game and get him ready for hopefully being in the World Cup in 2026.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, absolutely. He should, in a sense, ride off into the sunset, for a European club. But and lastly, Thiago Almada.
He's not out of contract, right?
He's not, but no. Obviously, and it's just more, should we transfer him if he gets that move to a Champions League side in the winter? Or should we wait until
it's the same? It's the same thing we've said since like day one of getting Thiago Almada, yeah. is if the money number is right, the price is right, then yeah. And I think Garth has kind of stipulated that what is he up to now? He says like 30. He doesn't want to get out of bed for anything less than 30 or something, because he wants to break a transfer record. So I think it's fair. You know, it's fair for the kind of upside that Thiago has. So we'll see if he gets that kind of offer. And I think if he gets that kind of offer, it would make sense and it'd be the right move for him and the club to do it. If he doesn't, if it's lower than that, some things would have to happen in order for it to make sense for him to go. And I don't know if they will. So, I don't know what the marketplace looks like right now. I don't know if teams are dying for a young, high potential 10 that they want to throw buku money at. So, mm-hmm. maybe.
Yeah.
I would like to see it though. I mean, unfortunately, he hasn't won anything with us. He hasn't done a lot with us, but he gave us a lot of fun memories. It was exciting watching him play. I'm excited for his career. I'm going to follow it after he leaves. Much like we did with Almiron. So, like, I mean, I'm not upset if he were to go. It doesn't bother me, really. Because I have all the faith in the world that the front office is going to, you know, find a good, adequate replacement and or find a system that doesn't necessitate having a, you know, world-beating 10 on it. Necessitated. So, I'm kind of, like, okay if it were to happen. And I just hope it happens in the way that the club desires.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, all very good points. And it is this too. I mean, I think there are maybe some aspects of his game that he maybe does need to develop, because the modern 10, as it is known, it's kind of waning a little bit. It's yeah. more about kind of roving eights, and so maybe the top sides maybe won't be coming in for him because he doesn't really quite fit that mold. But I think, yeah, there still might be some teams in Europa and Europa Conference League that could use some creativity in a player like him. So, yeah, I think, you know, there is a future for him in Europe easily. It's just a matter of if he wants to go there and if he sees his future progressing, you know, to whichever club comes in for him. And it's also whichever team can afford him, because that's what it will be as well. We want to get a number. And so it's, you know, Thiago Almada in the public at least has not maybe vocally said, oh, you know, I'm agitating for a move. Like, he is seemingly happy here. So, you know, hopefully that continues to be the case. And I think also Lionel Messi being in MLS doesn't hurt either. that I think kind of, what's the word? It quells a little bit of that that real big urgency to leave this league. If
you know. Yeah, see, that's the big brain move right now. It's mm-hmm. it's don't go to Europe, have Europe come to you.
Yeah, exactly, right. And yeah, in that sense, you know, if we can keep Almada for at least a whole another year, man, I think we're going to be a much better club for it. So, you know, not too bad. Okay, last bit, really, Sean Da Silva, because he is on loan. And yeah, if we actually, you know, I guess exercise the option to keep him or not, what would you do?
It's the Price is Right. Like we've talked about this before. People have asked us this question. It depends what the I have on the tip of my tongue. It's the mustard, Dijon, right? Dijon, that team.
Uh-huh.
That's where he comes from. Yeah. So like, it depends what they're asking for in terms of the purchase option. And if it makes him a DP, I don't think we go that route. If it doesn't, I keep him. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We said this on the live stream, on the, you know, the post-match live stream that, yeah, I mean, he's a player that's, I think, okay. As a TAM player, really, really good. As a DP, I think we can do better. So, and though, if there are some roster mechanisms that can be stretched, which I think we're anticipating, then yeah, okay, Silva, let's go. Let's keep him in there. But because yeah, I think he offers a good bit, and he can. Yeah, I think we saw that. You know, he offers a dynamism that we were missing. So yeah, I think if we can, we do it. Okay, so that is the mailbag. You guys asked some really good questions. Really appreciate you guys. And that pretty much is the episode, except for the question of the day. And the question of the day is, besides Thiago Almada, who do you think was our player of the season? And I think there's some obvious picks here, but I'm keen to see if you guys have some off-the-wall picks. Because, yeah. You know, that that comment section should probably fill up with a lot of G's.
Yeah. But... And explain your work and show your work in the comment section and give arguments for why. If it's, you know, someone other than GG, because obviously we know what GG's assets are. But if you pick someone else, which there are shouts for other players, give good reasons, show your work.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And, well, I pose the question to you, Mike. Who's your player of the season besides Gigi?
So like it's an interesting question, and this is kind of helping out the chat a little bit in that you can look at best, you know, or like, you know, had a great season or whatever in different kinds of ways. You don't have to just look at it in terms of like, did the striker score a lot or something like that? Mm-hmm. Did the, you know, the six get a heck of a lot of tackles or something like that? You know, doing their specific role. You can look at it as intangibles as well. So if it's not Thiago, and you know, if you look at it in terms of, let's say, like leadership or something like that, it's like, I want to say there's shouts for Brooks Lennon being an incredibly important player to us with his assists, with his leadership, and potential looking like could be the captain next season. That's looking really interesting. That could develop into something there as the new leader of Atlanta United going forward, if Brad, like I said, steps down or leaves. So that could be interesting. In terms of other, I don't really think that there's too many others that stand out tremendously, but you could make arguments for some others, and it would be interesting to see what you guys come up with, because, you know, you could just say, well, Gigi scores a lot, sure, but there are other things that this team has done this season that have been pretty extraordinary. Mm-hmm. I mean, Saba with the, you know, the way he just slices through defenses, it's delightful to watch. Zonde's like crazy antics in bringing up the energy and the confidence of the team. I mean, that's an intangible that's hard to measure, and it's really exciting. Gives a lot of flavor to the team. Obviously, these players weren't there the whole season, so part of that is negated a bit. But, you know, I mean, there's a lot of things that you can pick out from this team and say, like, you know, this was a player that stuck out to me. There's various reasons.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great pick. And, you know, obviously, you know, wasn't here as well the whole year, but, you know, Tristan Muyamba, who definitely changed a bit of our season, I would say, as well. And but, you know, player of the year, which the whole calendar year, that's the tough part there. So, but guys, yeah, let us know in the comments below what you think. Keen to see what you guys have to say. But guys, that is it for us, and we will see you in the off season for transfer rumors and all the other stuff that we will be doing. There's a lot of fun stuff that you guys have to look forward to, as well as check out our sister podcasts, in a sense, Five Takes on the Five Stripes. They're coming up with a bunch of fun stuff that we are excited to roll out in the off season and next season as well. But so, and that's it for us today. Remember to subscribe to us if you haven't already, share this episode, and leave us a review and rating so we can pop up higher in your rankings. And for Michael, I'm AJ. Thanks so much for listening.